Welcome to another episode of the No Ceilings Podcast. I'm Tyler Metcalf, joined as always by Tyler Rucker. Rucker, we're back. Full-time, NoCeilingsNBA.com. How are we doing?
Year three, baby. Yes, we're back. Back with force, back with vengeance, whatever you want to say. I couldn't be more excited about the upcoming year and to be doing plenty of these with you, Metcalf. And, man, we have preseason basketball on every day. College hoops is less than 30 days away from being back. It's just a magical time of the year. I'm doing fantastic. How about yourself, sir? How are we doing?
Just living the dream. We're getting a little taste of NBA basketball. I just need this preseason to be over so we can get into actual games. Shout out to everyone trying to make a team and all that stuff, but I need real games going on here sooner rather than later. The international scene and the draft world has actually been a lot of fun. We've done a million episodes and everyone's talked about it at this point, but season's still going. Guys like Risashi is continuing to improve. Nikola Topic, incredible amount of fun. So we're having our, you know, palate satiated for now, but there's so much more to come and I cannot wait.
Yeah. And it's, speaking of a hot topic, I mean, we got to plug Metcalf's got a very, very exciting video coming out for all you diehard breakdown people. He's talking about Nikola Topic as well. So, I mean, I'm excited for this year. I guess a little bit of an announcement, but me and Metcalf really want to make the pivot to start doing way more stuff on YouTube. I know Corey's going to be doing his stuff too, but we're going to each be doing kind of our film breakdowns on prospects, and not just prospects, but I think some NBA guys too throughout the year. It's going to be really exciting. And, you know, if you football fan, you've seen those QB school videos that are so awesome. That's, you know, we're going to try to kind of do a little basketball version of that. So I'm really pumped for this year. I think we've got a lot of fun stuff still to announce that fans are going to be excited for. It's a huge year for No Ceilings, and couldn't be more pumped about the pair of new additions, Rowan and Ignacio. I have to give them a little shout out. It's just really fun time around here.
Yeah, so just let's get our housekeeping out of the way now. So like you mentioned, a couple new additions to the team this year, Rowan Kent, Ignacio. Both of them had their pieces go up on Wednesday and Thursday. Make sure to go check them out. Rowan wrote about UCLA freshman Adai Mara, and Ignacio had an awesome piece breaking down a lot of the international names and how their seasons have gotten off to a start. Make sure to go follow them. Make sure to go read their stuff over at NoCeilingsNBA.com, 100% free. They're really good and a really great way to kind of introduce yourself to some of these international guys in this class. Like Rucker mentioned, I will have a Nikola Topic breakdown video coming out, focusing on his on-ball creation, scoring and playmaking. That should be out soon, hopefully by the time you're listening to this. If not, just keep an eye out for No Ceilings TV on YouTube, and it will be there shortly. Also, by the time you listen to this, my Jacoby Walter piece will be up at NoCeilingsNBA.com. Very excited about that. Very excited about him and his freshman year. I really think that he could be one of these surprise names to jump into the top three conversation. But enough of that. Rucker, we got a fun one today. We're drafting a starting five. We're each drafting a starting five, but we're putting a little restrictions on it. So we're each going to be going off of our individual boards, and we can only take one player from each specific range. So I can only take one player from ranking 1 through 10, 11 through 20, 21 through 30, and so on. And you can do the same. Once we each take a player, they are off the board completely for the other person, regardless of where they are in that, regardless of where they are on that person's board. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it's going to be spicy. I want you to have the first pick because I'm already struggling with my first pick. But no, this is going to be a fun one for everyone listening. And obviously, you know, I'm not trying to spoil all the secrets, but, like, you know, we have our consensus big board that we always do for No Ceilings. Some people might get a little bit of surprise in the next coming weeks. You're going to be able to see more of our personal big board rankings throughout the year. And I think that's going to be really exciting. It's also going to make me just a madman about my big board because I know I'm going to get the heat and I'm welcoming it this year. But I feel good about my preseason one. I tried to tinker with it before this episode last night. And I'm excited for this one because it's just going to get a little crazy. I like when you came to me with this idea. I was like, yes, let's do this. And I loved our draft episodes, if you want to say that, about, like, we get to pick teams and stuff. So, yeah, I mean, Metcalf, I want you to set the tone. Where are you going?
I was really hoping that, you know, I wanted to be the gentleman and make you, I mean, let you have this first pick. I'm going to go with my head on this one.
Okay.
I'm going to go with Alex Sarr.
Okay. I was debating that too. That's why I wanted to see if you were going to take the candy or not. It's a good pick though.
I got it. Yeah. There are three guys I have ranked higher than him right now. He's not number one on my board necessarily, but I think he, at this current point with this pick, I think he gives me the most kind of team building flexibility going forward, where I'm not necessarily locked into a specific style of play. I'm getting an elite defender, an elite off-ball scorer, someone who's flashed some really high-level passing stuff, some instances of on-ball creation, still not necessarily buying it, but there are flashes there. So I think with his just athleticism, the physical tools, the mobility, the versatility on both ends of the floor, I think I got to go with him first overall.
Yeah, he's been very impressive. I know there's a lot of people that are kind of pushing Sarr to be in the running for number one pick, and he is going to be that right now. I think it's always a popular time of the year where we get so excited because we're so eager to start talking about these guys. And, you know, international always has the leg up right now because they have their seasons going on. They've got the film and we can go obsess about it each and every night. And, you know, Sarr's been very impressive. We've talked about him on our previous Eurotrip episode. We've talked about him before that. Very, very impressive. I think the defensive stuff's intriguing, but I'm a big believer of that. Some of these college guys are going to wake some people up. I think people are going to be shocked about guys like Justin Edwards. And I know you're writing your piece about Jacoby Walter. The more I watch him, I'm foaming at the mouth.
Before we move on to your pick, yeah, just real quick, where do you have Sarr? Cause I want to shine a little more light on our boards and sure that we're going to hold ourselves accountable and actually put numbers on these guys now that we're back full time. So Alex Sarr, what number do you have? Where is he on your board?
I got him at five. Okay. And I know people might be like, whoa, what? I feel great about having him at five. And this is a guy I had probably, a month ago before the Ignite stuff? Like, gosh, really that long? I had him low. I had him like around the teens and stuff because I was just like, I need to see it. And then all of a sudden I was like, whoa. Yeah, so having him at five, I still feel great about him. I think the defensive, I said this in the previous episode, I think the defensive ability has raised his floor.
Yeah.
I still think there's a very special player with his ceiling. Like his ceiling is raised to me too. But I feel very good about the guys ahead of him. I feel good about, you know, Justin Edwards, Ron Holland, Jacoby Walter, Stephon Castle. Those are the names in ahead of him I have right now. I feel fantastic about all those guys. It's been weird to see some people not high on Justin Edwards at all. And I think he's going to be a very bad man out of the gate, especially with Kentucky going to have to play a little small. So I really like Sarr a lot. Would not shock me if at the end of the year he's in my top three. But for right now, I think there's a lot of potential with the guys ahead of him.
All right. Who you got? Your first pick in the 1-10 range.
You know, I just praise the guy that is at Kentucky, but I'm actually going to shake things up and go a different direction. I'm going to take Ron Holland because if I'm building a team, I want that mentality to set the tone when it comes to high energy defensive motor. I feel good about taking him there, and then now I can try to put some shooters around him. But I also think, you know, I've seen some videos. I think the shot is trending in the right direction, which would be a holy crap type of development.
It would.
And it's something that has just been the missing ingredient. And if it is going the right direction, that name is going to be at the top of boards and going to be in that conversation. And it should be from what we've seen. He's been fantastic. He has freight train like speed. You know, he is a fighter jet when he wants to get downhill. And I think things are starting to come together. This is why we praise the Ignite. I mean, look how much better he's already gotten. And it's going to be awesome with them having a full season, and that season's longer than it's ever been for the Ignite. So I'm so pumped to see Ron Holland and the entire team there.
Yeah, I think Holland, I loved, sorry, Texas fans, but I thought it was a really smart decision on his part when he decommitted and decided to go the Ignite route. I just think it's the they've done an incredible job, even though it's hurt some of the draft stock for some of the guys. It's done such a good job at getting those guys more NBA ready right out of the gate. And the fact that some of these guys can now stay there a couple extra years, I think is even better for them, where they're not being forced to go in the one and done route. So even if they struggle a little bit, I'm not saying Holland is going to, he's going to be a top three pick. But I just really like that choice for him. And we're already seeing those improvements. He's an absolute psychopath on the court. That's a compliment. Very excited to see kind of how his half court offense continues to develop throughout the year. Okay. With my second pick, moving on to the 11 to 20 range on my board, this immediately gets messy and we are two picks in. Love yep. that.
It really does. Cause I always forgot that you wanted to go 1 to 10 and I was planning on 1 to 5. So now, nope. yeah, 10 no, to 20 is going to get a little ugly. Yeah. We're getting really into the weeds. Got to pay double for this type of admission. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. I'm going to go with the guy that you have number two on your board. So this is a
cheating
steal for me. And I promise this is not board manipulation. I promise that I am not cheating while I'm doing this. He's number 12 on my board right now, but I think he's going to be an awesome pick and roll partner with Alex Sarr, and the offensive vibes are going to be off the charts. I'm going Stephen Castle, point guard, freshman point guard at UConn.
I'm in love. Absolutely in love. And I understand why you have him at 12. I understand why anyone might have a little bit of hesitation to have him a little bit lower. But man, he's got the goods in my eyes. I mean, that's one of the easiest ones I've had when it came to evaluating for preseason with high school film and stuff. I was just like, this kid's got it. It's just how quick is it going to come together? And you talk about, you know, a 6'5", 6'6", guard that just plays with composure and is smooth. What a dream foundation of a team to all of a sudden be inserted with. I mean, they've got everything you could have for him to just have some success. So wouldn't shock me if he's a little slow out of the gate, just to, because there's just so many mouths to feed with UConn.
Well, and especially with Klingon's
injury. Yeah. Well, and I think I saw Klingon supposed to be cleared to be back, but they're going to be cautious with him, especially right. earlier in the year. And they just got a lot of mouths, you know, and Tristan Newton's there. They got a lot of talent on that team, Caravan. But I do think Stephon Castle is going to be one of those, like, oh boy, when it starts to come together, fans are going to be very, very excited about his game.
So I know you're really high on him right now, but what is in your mind? Sorry to be a little Debbie Downer here.
No, you're fine.
If there was one big red flag that would make you go, that kind of has me worried, what would it be?
The thing with him is sometimes, like, I guess you could say just like he can get smothered off the bounce, but I think that's also the counter that makes me so impressed with him. Is you can throw the kitchen sink at him and he will not get rattled. He will find a way to adjust. Like, there's a couple plays where he just gets smothered in high school and I'm like, oh gosh, this is going to be an ugly turnover. And then he just throws like a no look dime backdoor to someone. And I'm like, what in the world? Like, how did he even see that? So I think maybe just the speed adjusting to it. But I also think he's got the ability to, he doesn't get sped up. Like, guys do everything they can to slow him down. And if you want a game to sell yourself on, you just go watch him against Ron Holland. He
was that's a 40 plus one.
Oh gosh. And it wasn't even just like, oh, it was 40. It was like second half. I think he got a bloody nose in like the second quarter. And then the second half, like, was playing with like a towel hanging from his nose and was just like giving buckets left and right. And it was just like, okay, like, if this is what I'm getting in a 6'6" guard, I'm going to be excited. But I guess you can also say like outside shot, but he just in that game just took over. And I was just like, you couldn't do anything to slow him down. So that's why I'm high on him. But it also, like, we need to see that a little bit more consistent. But rave reviews so far from anyone going to those practices. So I'm excited.
Okay. Who you got at number two?
Okay. So 11 to 20. Yeah. I'm going to get me some offense on the wing. I'm going to take a shout out to Corey. I'm going to take Scotty Middleton, who is at 14 on my board. Ohio State sharpshooter freshman with some good size. So now I've got Ron Holland out there. I've got Scotty Middleton. Scotty's going to go get some buckets. Ron's going to drive the lane. I like that little pairing out there. Where are you at with Middleton? Metcalf? Go ahead.
I have him at 8.
Is there a world where you just think he just lays a hammer like Thor and just like comes out of the gate and just is putting up like 18?
And that would shock me just because I don't think like the on-ball stuff is there.
Yeah.
But I think the defense with him is just incredibly solid, where I would be really, really, really stunned if he's not a very good defender next year, which I feel like we can't really say about a ton of freshmen coming in. And then just
no, it can't. It's awesome.
The shot just, it got better and better throughout his senior year, starting at, you know, with his EYBL film, going all the way through the high school season. It just got better. And when you see that really just consistent improvement from a teenager, it makes, you know, predicting what he could be and pushing that out into the future so much more exciting. And it's like, oh, okay, we're seeing it in real time here, where it's not just one of these things where he just went in an empty gym and that over the off season and then came back and was a new player this season. And then, you know, wash, rinse, repeat, where we're not really seeing it happen in front of us. With Middleton, we saw it game by game, week by week, month by month over his senior year, where he really refined the nuances of his defense, improved his offensive consistency, improved the shooting difficulty, where it wasn't just spot up. It was movement stuff. It was attack a closeout, then hit a step back. So as like a 3-and-D wing in this class, I think he has an incredibly safe floor with a really exciting ceiling. And one of the comps that I have for him is Taurean Prince. And Taurean's had a really good career. He was really important for the Timberwolves these last couple of years. He's going to be really important for the Lakers in this upcoming season. So, you know, if you take Middleton in the lottery and you get Taurean Prince, are you necessarily ecstatic about that? Maybe not, but are you disappointed? I don't think so.
It's funny you bring up Taurean Prince, because every single time I'm trying to do I'm in the middle of trying to do a very, very big draft philosophy piece. Probably going to take a while to come out because I'm really in the weeds. But it's also funny, just Taurean Prince, besides having one of the greatest post-game interviews in college basketball history when he talked about like rebounding, I always forget he went 12th overall. Yeah. I forget he's a lottery pick, like every time. And yep. I know what you're saying. Like, Taurean's, I think, going to be in his 8th year. Like, he's had a heck of a career when it comes to just latching. Because, I mean, we always want these guys to be stars, but sometimes it's just like, hey, we just hang in there. Find a way to hang around the league. And Taurean's done that. He's been a guy that teams always want to find when it comes to the toughness and the way he plays the game. But I do think Scotty's just got that upside to kind of be one of those, you know, scary. Like,
yeah, I definitely think he can be more at this point. I kind of see Taurean as like his floor.
Could, I don't throw this name around a lot. The problem with player comps is I'm not saying he's going to make this much money, but could he be like a Chris Middleton on a team?
The shooting's
not there, or the offense isn't there yet.
But yeah, down the road, maybe. Maybe
the down idea. The road.
There's so much craft and nuance with Middleton's like shot creation. And, you know, I think he's like 2 or 3 inches bigger.
That's true. And I know you hate Ohio State guys, but I'm very pumped to watch him. Roddy Gale this year too.
I have, and Felix Okpara, man.
Yeah.
I have so many Ohio State players that I love, and I just die a little bit inside every time. And our conference previews that are coming out on NoSealingsNBA.com in the coming weeks. Like, Ohio State, Michigan State was my game to watch in the Big Ten. I don't want to watch that game. I hate both those programs. What are we doing?
I felt bad, but Michigan never came up in my mind when doing those conference previews. But I definitely,
their games, but I'm
good. I think Ohio State was a lot of my picks too. So, okay, hit me with it. So we're 21 to 30.
Correct. I'm going to go with the guy that we talked about last week, a guy that just kind of continues to improve. We talked about him pre-show. The defense, I think, could be elite. The off-ball offense is really improving. I love how decisive he's been off-ball with his decision-making, really improving the connective aspects of his offense with the passing, the attacking closeouts, the off-ball movement, the rebounding. I'm going Zachary Risashi from Jailborg.
It's a good pick. Your team's coming along together really nicely. Zachary's, this is what we wanted. This is what we loved. This is exactly what we loved. He's been trending in the right direction. I asked a front office guy like 3 weeks ago about him, and he was just like, man, I don't know. He's just kind of, you know, a little timid out there. I literally asked him about him 2 days ago after he's been on the stretch. He's like, man, it looks like something switched. He's like, looks like he's finally starting to play the way we want him to. He's looked great lately. The mindset's right there. So I don't think we're ever going to get to a point where Zachary's in the top five talk. But I think if he keeps playing like this, he keeps looking aggressive. Because even Metcalf, when he's attacking and like he doesn't score or he doesn't draw a foul, it's the in my mind, I'm like, he's doing it at least. Like yeah. He's getting the ball and being like, go. And that's where I've wanted to see from him so much. Cause like you said, we've said this in previous episodes, the defense I was always very comfortable with. I was like, he's going to be a damn good defender in his basketball career. But I was like, if he gets another element of just lighting a fire in his head of like, get to the basket. I think that would make life easier for everything else to fall into place with the outside shots trending the right direction. So I think we could look up in a couple months, Metcalf, and be talking about Zachary in the lottery again. And what a whirlwind of just all over the place that would be for draft diehards. Like a lot of people thought this was a preseason top five guy 5 months ago. And then all of a sudden everyone cooled. And now we're just going to be back and talking about it.
Yeah. So kind of sorry to surprise you with this.
No,
clip,
you're good.
But like this is exactly what you were talking about with the decisiveness where he little handoff, he signals to his teammate to come up out of the corner to set that screen, forces
that stuff
the switch.
So big
grab step, just flattens his defender, attacks his momentum, finishes through contact. It's just really decisive, really quick decision making. And it's stuff that we weren't getting from him before, where he was hesitating, the ball was sticking with him a little bit too much. Even on this one that I'm pulling up right now, he doesn't make this shot, but I love how quickly he kind of figures out what he wants to do. A little jab step into the step back three, and it just rims out. The line on that's good. He just goes a little long, but defender's way off of him in the paint, gets that skip pass, completely loses him, turns him around with that jab step, and finds his way with a wide open three. And I think in time that can get to a spot where it's dropping a little bit. That's really good shot creation. That's really good decision-making and creativity and just kind of ability to improvise on the fly.
The one thing I'll say about Zachary, and I think this is the biggest thing we see in scouting that gets us so excited about evaluating and gets us pumped to watch those games when they're late at night or wake up early in the morning and see what they did. In Portland, everyone drink. I didn't see confidence with him. And correct me wrong. I think he actually ended up playing good in the, scrimmage in the game.
Well, in the games and the scrimmages, it was kind of like Ron Holland where that switch flipped a little bit. I think in like the practices, I'm not sure if it was language barrier. I'm not sure if it was, you know, being kind of alone where you know, he wasn't surrounded by his buddies like a lot of those other guys were.
Right.
I think he's just kind of a shy kid. But yeah, in the actual practices, he was really struggling and just kind of looked lost. But then when they kind of just rolled the balls out and let him play, that's when he was kind of getting into guys, especially on defense, where he had some shit to his game.
Yeah, and what I was trying to say is like he didn't look confident. In practices, he just looked like a guy that was like, I'm kind of, you know, just in the background, laying in the weeds, play good in the game. And then FIBA play, we kind of felt like, okay, like just the confidence wasn't there. This looks like a completely different player. And what I was getting at is confidence is the coolest thing ever to evaluate when you can see a player all of a sudden is just surging with it. It's just awesome. And I'm not trying to compare it to the Celtics, but like Peyton Pritchard in the preseason looks like unbelievably different because he's confident now because he got paid and he knows like, oh, I've got a spot on this team where I can get minutes. And we just underestimate how big confidence is for these guys. We always say like, hey, it is a big thing, but it is humongous for a guy like Zachary Richardson. We're just seeing that right now of the different player, completely different player. And this is what we get really excited about. And that's why he's moving up boards. He's moved up mine and I'm pumped to see what happens.
How long until he starts getting the Jaden McDaniels comps?
Not far. Another thing I was shocked.
I'm not saying he should, because that, you know, I just wanted on the record that I think Jaden McDaniels is, you know, the second coming of Scottie Pippen. But, you know,
I was shocked seeing
the defense, the kind of off ball exclusive on offense.
I was shocked seeing Zachary in person. His lower body is tree trunks. So that move you just showed, like he has a lot of power in those legs to have a good balance, good base. So like there's some dangerous stuff developing. Like buckle up, everyone. I really do think like he's trending in the right direction in a hurry. And I think this is the type of stuff where if NBA scouts are checking, like the defense is going to be good. All right, we're good there. The offense is coming around. The mindset now has flipped. I mean, people are going to be checking boxes fast when it comes to Zachary. And I don't want us to go crazy about it, but this is a big development. This is exciting.
Yeah, obviously there's a lot of season left. So, you know, I just bring up the Jaden McDaniels name just to prepare people for what's eventually coming if this stuff kind of keeps up with him. But you talked about the lower body power. Just watch where he plants on the step back and how much ground he covers. So he's there, ends up there.
Yeah.
That's a lot of space. That's a lot of power. I know he doesn't look strong necessarily. He looks a little slender. He looks a little lean.
Yeah.
To some extent he is, but his lower body, like you said, was really strong and it definitely looks like it up close.
Yes.
Okay. Number Enough. Three for you. Who you got?
Oh, I thought you, okay.
So in your 21,
I'm still 21 to 30. Yes.
Yeah. So, sorry, just real quick for the record, where do you have Zach on your board?
24.
I have him at 21.
Okay. I moved him up to 24. I think I had him at like 28, 29 before. I've moved him up a little bit. Okay, so I've got Scotty Middleton, Ron Holland on the wings. I feel pretty good about that. I'm gonna draft. I can't not do this. I'm gonna draft the big man. I'm gonna go Adembona. I have to do it.
Okay.
Shout out to Mitt Cronin for basically making me and Metcalf feel completely 100% energized and feel better. I was about at an 85. Now I'm back at 100. For those that didn't see it, he basically just said, yeah, he plays unbelievable defense and he has a great motor. It's going to be hard to keep him off the court. So, feel pretty good about Abona right there. Where do you have him right now, Metcalf?
17.
Yeah. I got him at 21, so right on the border. But
I thought he was the best defensive center in the country last year.
I think he's going to be the best defensive center in the country this year.
And I know that sounds hyperbolic. I know he didn't have the best block rate. I know he didn't have the best steal rate. But when you just look at what he was asked to do on the court and how much ground he was asked to coverage and defend every single area of that floor, you can't show me two or three other centers in the country who were asked to do that same amount and executed it at that level that he did. It was absolutely insane where he was blitzing pick and rolls all the way out to half court, either switching onto the point guard at that spot and defending him on the perimeter or retreating all the way back or, you know, making the switch and recovering to a corner shooter because his teammate had switched over into the lane and to take the roller. He was absolutely everywhere. His motor didn't stop. It was constantly running. I know there are concerns about the offense, but he kind of showed some fun face-up stuff with rip-through drives and whatnot towards the end of last year. So I'm not saying he's going to be this offensive dynamo, but I think there might be a little itty-bitty part of him that could do a little more than just rim running and offensive rebounds.
Yeah, I mean, I've told this story before. It's still my favorite surprise seeing in person in pregame warmups last year was Bona. Pouring sweat, every rep was 100%, and he, like, when he was doing big man post-up stuff, and every drop step was him literally trying to break the backboard and bring it down like Shaq. Like, it was just a lot of anger, a lot of tenacity, and I was just like, okay, and then you see that translate to the floor. The block rate with him doesn't, like, I'm not worried about that ever, because I think he just alters so much stuff.
Well, he's just constantly disruptive. Defending away from the rim too.
Yes. And like you said, you've said it all the time, and it's true. You go turn on the tape. Like, people are always like, oh, big guy, let's pull him out on an island. And Bona is like, I'm good with that. I'm okay with that. Like, I can hang out here. And I think that's why I think NBA teams will be so smitten of him, is because they'll be like, this dude can survive. We could play switch with him and he'll be fine. And obviously, everyone calm down. Like, Damian Lillard brings out a rookie big man, and it's going to be a rough time. But the idea of having this mobile, versatile, agile big man like him that's built like the Hulk, and he doesn't block shots to just tip it. He blocks shots to send it into another universe. Like, he just tenacity. I love the way he plays. And I think teams are going to drool over that.
So obviously his draft stock last year got just decimated because of that shoulder injury at the end of the year, and he couldn't play in the tournament. He couldn't really do any pre-draft stuff. That sucked. If he stays healthy this year, what would keep him out of the first round?
My problem is I think we just... This is going to sound bad, and I'm not saying he's taking the next step forward automatically, but I feel like we're going to get last year again with more minutes.
Yeah.
And the production's going to look better because he's playing more minutes. And I'm not worried. I've been thinking about it a lot. I'm not worried about him and Mara playing together.
I think it could actually be kind of fun.
It's going to, because Mara's going to be an unbelievable playmaker. It's going to be terrifying to deal with.
There could be some fun, like high-low action with that.
I would high-low people to death. I would literally, I just watched Ballo and Tubelis do it last year to Indiana and Trace Jackson Davis. And it was,
and Prince, oh wait,
shush. But it was so, and now you're going to get like a gifted passer with size and Bona, who's stronger than everyone. It's going to be fine. It's going to work out. But I don't know, Metcalf, what about you? I mean, the defense is going to be there. The rebounding is going to be there. Some of his rebounding stats are freakish. He's going to be a rim runner. He's going to be a lob threat. I don't need to see him bust out an offensive game in the post. I don't think Mick Cronin needs that either. I don't think Mick Cronin's like, hey, okay, if nothing goes good with the set, our last option is feed Bona to go to work. No, I think, you know, teams are going to draft him and be like, hey, let's spend time working on your jump hooks.
Right.
That's it. You know, and I think, I'm not trying to dog anyone, but like, Clint Capella made a lot of money off of rebounding, blocking shots, being an impactful defender. I think Bona's on that same path.
Yeah. I what you said about him not needing to develop a post game, I think is really, really important, because unfortunately, I think a guy who's kind of gotten hurt by that over these last couple of years has been Daron Holmes, where he's developed a really, really dynamic and interesting post game. But at the NBA level, he's never going to be asked to do that.
It's just not the way the game is anymore, unless you're Jokic and we're playing the offense through you, but you're not drafting that guy.
Right.
You know, that's freak of nature stuff. It was like Jokic getting drafted so late and developing, and everything went perfect, blah, 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 blah. Obviously, he's unbelievable, but I agree.
Right. So it's like, okay, the offensive numbers aren't there. Like, okay, is that a concern really for what he's going to be eventually, what the NBA is going to ask him to do? Is that actually a concern? With Bona, I don't think it's ever going to be. If he doesn't go first round this year and, you know, he stays healthy and all that, my only other kind of guess, besides people overthinking the offensive stuff, would be that we do see a drop off in the overall defensive metrics, just because of that pairing with him and Mara. I expect that Mara is going to be planted at the rim, where they're not going to bring him out to the perimeter if his life depended on it.
I agree.
There, because he is rough in space. Bona isn't. Bona is incredible in space, and I imagine that he's going to be having to fucking chase everyone around the court. So it wouldn't shock me if his rebounding and block rates and all that kind of stuff just either plateaued or came down even a little bit. And I don't think it's going to be a symptom of him getting worse. It's just going to be a symptom of him being pulled out. And that's where watching the tape becomes so important.
Yes. Situation, understanding. Scouts will know. Scouts will be watching. And if that stuff's happening, scouts will be like, hey, we just watched him last year. And I actually think it was very smart of him to test the waters, even knowing his shoulders messed up. He couldn't work out because he probably was like, hey, what do I need to do? And everyone probably said, keep playing like you play. And I know some scouts would probably be like, hey, just keep working on your offensive game, whatever. You're drafting Odenbona to be what he is, what we just saw. Like if we drop Odenbona with the Milwaukee Bucks right now, every Bucks fan would be foaming at the mouth to add him alongside like Giannis. Like it's just, that's the type of
garbage time when him and Thanasis and Andre Jackson hit the court together.
Gosh. To get the kids out of the arena. All right. Hit me with your next. We're 31 to 40.
31 to 40. I'm going to stay on brand here and keep adding size to this team. I don't like the idea of Alex Sarr being my full-time center, especially having to deal with Bona. So I'm going to move him to power forward, and I'm going to take one of the most productive centers in NCAA history. I'm going Zach Edey.
You have him this high?
I have him at 38.
Good.
Run any statistical query that you want. There's a 95% chance his name's going to pop up.
He's going to get drafted. He
never fouls.
He's going to get drafted. I'm not doubting it. He's going to get drafted. Someone will draft Zach Edey.
He's an insane rebounder. He's a really good screener, good passer, incredible scoring touch on the interior, draws a ton of fouls, never fouls on the other end, has a really high block rate. His ability to kind of move in space and drop coverage, it was solid last year. He's not Bona. He's not switching on anyone. But as a guy that I can just drop and throw in the middle of the paint, let Alex Sarr kind of go on the perimeter, roam around, be that defensive playmaker. Also run that pick and roll with Stephen Castle. We're having fun now.
Yeah, I like that. That's a good one. I have him literally right outside my top 60. And I know people are going to be like, what? You don't have him retired? I know what Zach Edey's going to be. He's going to do it again.
There's going to be a lot of people who are like, you have him that high?
No, but I mean, I get it. He's going to get drafted because some team with an extra second round pick is just going to look at themselves and say, what if this works? Mm-hmm. Like, what if he is a piece off the bench that is a force? Like, what if this works? We have a giant in the middle with touch. He's going to put up cuckoo numbers. I would not be shocked if he gets drafted. Right now, I have him just right outside it because I'm weird in the preseason stuff. I like to give the guys that are coming in a little bit more run, and you know, automatically I could see myself moving Edey up before we have our first one submitted. But okay, I love that out of you.
I don't think he's going to be some superstar, all-star type player.
No.
But I bet he has 10 years as a backup center, where he's playing
minutes,
8 to 15 minutes a game.
It wouldn't shock me. Or if he goes to Europe and plays for Barcelona. Wouldn't shock me. okay. Well, my range right now is getting ugly. you know what? I'm gonna take a sleeper. Okay, so you've got Stephon Castle, Zachary Richichet, Alex Sarr, Zach Edey.
Correct.
I've got Bona, Ron Holland, Scotty Middleton. I'm going to add another shooter. He's going to play shooting guard for me. And I'm starting to like him a lot. I have a very good feeling this might be a guy that I fall in my feelings after I've done some more research. See, I'm a big believer of how you close the year. If you can have a hot streak to end the year and build some momentum off that, that's a dangerous thing in the offseason. I'm going to draft Miles Kelly of Georgia Tech. Round 6'5", shoots the crap out of it. I've been watching him a lot. I like him a lot. And then I went back in his last six games of the year. He averaged almost 22 a game, and he was like 44, 45, 92. I just think if you could hang your hat in a draft class of having the potential to be one of the best shooters, scouts are going to take notice, and you're going to probably be a hot commodity. And in this class, there's a lot of talent all over the board. There's a lot of players with a lot of upside. But I think if you're looking for guys that just can shoot the crap out of the ball, you start to narrow that field a lot. I mean, me and you have talked about Tucker DeVries. We're like, hey, he could have the chance to hang his hat on that calling card. Just guys like that, where it's like you're getting drafted to be a shooter. And I think Miles Kelly's on the radar. If he comes out and has a strong start to the year, that could start to kind of wave the flag of like, uh-oh, here we go. We got another one. And I'm just always root for those guys. I'm a big, big believer of the guys that, you know, the returners. I love the one and dones, but I love the guys that you get to see. Hey, they've been working their ass off in the offseason. So Miles Kelly is someone I'm probably going to believe in a little bit more than others.
Yeah, I'm definitely behind on Miles Kelly. I know Albert as well was kind of pushing him at the end of last season. So when we talk about shooter, is he kind of like the Isaiah Joe, Seth Curry mold of shooter, where just go out there and gun, where your kind of percentile rankings, your percentages, they're going to be good, but they may be a little more influenced because you're taking really, really difficult shots rather than just kind of wide open standstill stuff?
I mean, he can move. He can move on you know, shooting. I don't know why Ben McLemore just popped in my head of like that idea of like moving around a bunch and stuff like that. I mean, it's a guy that I'm probably going to, you know, obviously Albert has been pushing him. Feel like we might have some Miles Kelly stuff up our sleeve, but might be someone I want to write about. It's just, you know, Mick, we always have those guys that you just turn on out of nowhere and you're like, oh, you got my attention way more than I was expecting. And I think Miles Kelly's one of those guys where I'm like, I want to keep watching more. And I think you just draft him. I mean, he didn't fill up the box score a lot when it came to versatility, but the one part he did was scoring and shooting and efficient. And I just think that's a guy that could all of a sudden, you know, maybe it's a early second rounder. Maybe it's a guy that ends up sneaking into the end of the first round with the strong camp. And we always see those guys that light up those pre-draft workouts. And everyone's like, this kid came in and went, you know, 80 for 100 from three, or you know what I'm saying. But just someone that I'm like, hey, I got to make sure to keep Miles Kelly on my radar. Okay. And I didn't think I was going to be saying, hey, I need to keep Georgia Tech basketball on my radar a couple months ago. But that's why I love college basketball. That's why I love this draft.
Love it. Okay. So with my last pick in the, what are we in, 41 to 50, I should probably, yeah, in the 41 to 50 range, my final player in my starting five, he's a transfer going from Iona to Florida. Point guard, can play a little bit off ball too, 6'2". I'm going Walter Clayton Jr. because I need more shooting on this team, and I think he can play on or off ball. I think one of the fascinating selling points of Walter Clayton is the off ball shooting. Last season, he ranked in the 99th percentile in spot up scoring. He ranked in the 88th percentile in all around jump shots, the 98th percentile in shooting off the catch, and the 72nd percentile shooting off the dribble. He also ranked in the 67th percentile as a pick and roll ball handler. So that just infusion of floor spacing while also being able to take some on ball creation, I just think it will provide a really kind of fun dynamic in the backcourt between Castle and Clayton.
It's a good one. I know he's got plenty of fans that had no ceilings. I know a lot of people out there love the numbers. Another transfer I'm just excited to watch this year. I always get excited for the transfers because I'm like, you're really betting
how real is it?
Yeah, like how, okay, you're gambling on you're playing the poker at the poker table and you feel like you got a good hand. So let's see if you're right. But I'm excited to see him. It's a fun class. I mean, I was doing my big board last night. I was on 60 through 70 trying to get guys back up into my top 60. And I was like, there's some guys here I like, dang. So fun class. Okay.
Where do you have Clayton? Is he in your top 60 or no?
No, he's not.
Okay. So you hate Walton Clayton. Good to know.
No, I have a laundry list of names. I just, you know, when you get past 60, I got a lot of guys past 60 I really like that I wanted to put in my top 60 last night, but gosh. Okay. I'm looking at my lineup. Got wings galore. Am I gonna play Ron Holland at the four? All right, I have to look back at my list and can't play Miles Alex Kelly at the one.
And Alex Sarr is gonna punk him again.
Yeah, I guess I'll play small ball. Whatever. Because I can't just not take a point guard. That makes this exercise ridiculous.
Oh, yeah, that's kind of tough.
No, screw it. To heck with that. I don't care. I'll just have Miles Kelly guard. Yeah, whatever. I'm going to take a guy I'm really excited to see this year. And he's going to play with Bona. And I actually really like this pick now. I don't care if I'm going to play out of position. Well, Holland's going to probably bring up the ball anyways or run it through him. Whatever. I'm going to take a guy I believe has the chance to remind everyone how good he was trending last year. And I think he could end up being a first round pick. I'm going to take, I know I have him, I'm saying this and I have him low on my board. So everyone pump your brakes. I'm going to take Trevon Brazil and put him next to Bona. I have him at 43. I don't love it. I like Trevon a lot. Only thing I want to see early on in the year is where are we at with health recovery from the ACL injury last year. I think he's got the potential to be an asset in the modern NBA with the size, the floor spacing. There's a lot of stuff going for him. He was kind of underrated athletically. I know people are like, what are you talking? I think he was underrated. I think he had some bounce and had some rim protecting, but I need to see him become a more versatile defender. I need the shot to be consistent. I need a little bit more. So I have him there. The first week he could be going up to 35. Like quickly, I'm a big fan of it. I see the path in which he could be a desired asset for NBA teams.
Yeah, and I have him at 39 on my board right now. So I'm really intrigued. I just kind of need to see a little more maturity from him on both ends of the floor. And
what people I mean don't take that the wrong way. Right, don't take that. Yeah, I know what you're saying.
What I mean by that is more so the decision making, the kind of consistency on both ends of the floor, where a lot of his rim protection last year, the highlights were incredible. He also chased a lot of stuff. He was also late on rotations. The consistency, the timing of it, it felt like a really young player taking a big leap in competition level. So I think there's the physical tools I think are freakish. Kind of 3-and-D potential with him is really fascinating. We obviously saw how brutal Arkansas spacing got last year after he got hurt, because he was kind of their main 3-point shooting threat, especially early in the season when Nick Smith was hurt. But I think he could be in for a really big year. Hopefully he's healthy. Hopefully he returns to pretty much who he was, because that was a really fun player who had a lot of bounce and a lot of versatility to his game. I just need the kind of mental aspects where the processing speed really takes that leap forward, and he's constantly making those really well-timed but also really disciplined rotations as that primary rim protector. I think as like a secondary rim protector, that's where it's like, oh, okay, the excitement here with this guy is through the roof. If he's your primary though, that's where I kind of get a little hesitant. But I buy the offensive stuff. He kind of gives me some Jackson Hayes vibes. Just the bounce, the kind of erratic decision making, a little bit of chaos to his game, ability to kind of stretch the floor. If things hit right, if that decision making, that processing speed really does take that improvement, it would be kind of surprising if he's not a top 30 pick.
Who did you just pick?
I'll just run through. So my starting five is Alex Sarr, Stephen Castle, Zachary Risacher, Zach Edey, Walter Clayton. You have Ron Holland, Scotty Middleton, Adem Bona, Miles Kelly, and Trevon Brazil.
Let's do a six man because we left out, we left out 51 to 60, right?
Okay. We can do.
So let's just do a six man. So we're filling all the voids. I mean, it just doesn't seem right for us to only go to 50. We got to get one more guy.
That's fine. And shockingly, we came in way under the clock. So we,
yeah, I'm shocked.
We got another half hour to kill.
Yeah, kidding.
Kidding.
Okay. The problem with the preseason big boards is Mick Hef, I have guys 51 to 60 that I could have 40 to 50. It's really annoying.
Or 80 to 90.
Well, and I have like Aiden Mahaney is right outside my top 60. I love him from St. Mary's. Sophomore. I had a really impressive freshman year. I love him. Alex Tui, right outside. We all know how much I love him. It's just tough.
You have Tui.
RJ Lewis, I'm intrigued with. Keyshawn Gilbert. I couldn't believe I read an article that Robert Dillingham gained 24 pounds. I could not believe that number. So,
Maxwell's joke on that was really funny.
Yeah, of course it was. who are you thinking?
Oh God, I hate this range, especially for
my team. I mean, I've never had this many names this early in the year. That's why I just think this is a really fun and interesting class. I'm so tired of people saying this class sucks because there's no consensus number one. This class has some real wild cards.
Yeah. Okay. So sorry, I'm trying to filibuster, trying to find some numbers here. Screw it. I'm going Cam Spencer, shooting guard from UConn. Arguably best off ball shooter in the country. His percentile ranks on Synergy are through the charts. I was trying to pull him up. But the search function currently isn't working for me. Shot like 43.5% from three last year. I think he's going to have a monster season. Playing off of Klingon and playing off of Castle while also spacing the floor with Alex Caravan and Tristan Newton. So I need another shooter on this team. So I'm going Cam Spencer.
It's a good pick. It's a pretty good pick. There's a lot of guys like that where people need to be entertained about some names that you might not be seeing right now that I think could quickly start to make some noise. And
real quick, sorry, just to cut you off. Spot up 94th percentile, shooting off the catch 94th percentile, overall jump shots 85th percentile. Sorry, continue.
And he's playing with Stephon Castle, which makes me even feel better about. I'm just saying, like, people don't realize what a dream scenario this is for an incoming freshman stud guard. He has everything. His shooters all over the place. He's a humongous big man that's talented with skills. He's got a lot of stuff. So that's why I'm so high on Castle, and I'm just high on him as a player. But, okay, my sixth man. I'm going to go with Kobe Johnson of USC.
He was the other one I was torn between.
Yeah, really intrigued with Kobe. I love when you admit that because I can tell we think just spot on. I think Kobe is going to be a pleasant surprise this year. I think that USC team is going to be fun. Isaiah Collier is going to get all the attention. I think Kobe Johnson is going to be one of those guys that we see quickly, or not quickly, we see just creep up boards and teams get intrigued with this is the upperclassman with some, you know, some poise now to his game, some versatility. I like him a lot. The only other name I was going to think about was Desmond Claude of Xavier. I'm really excited to see. So, I like that, McCuff. I like that we did a little six man there. That's a good one.
All right. Just to recap, my starting five and six man are Alex Sarr, Stephon Castle, Zachary Risashi, Zach Edey, Walter Clayton, and then coming off the bench, Cam Spencer. You had Ron Holland, Scotty Middleton, Adem Bona, Miles Kelly, Trayvon Brazil, and coming off the bench, Kobe Johnson.
I think we need to do this exercise more than once throughout the year. It'd be kind of fun to see how our teams change. Because it's, and for everyone listening, actually, like, it's kind of a fun exercise to do for yourself, I think. Cause like I'm already looking at it and I was like, oh, maybe I should have gone, you know, like, do you prefer going guard first? Or it's just like, I probably would do this again and have a different strategy of like, maybe I should get my guard early or stuff like that. It's just, it's kind of fun. I like the wrinkle.
Yeah, So the two names I was torn between on, you know, at the start were either Alex Saar or Jacoby Walter. And, you know, my heart is screaming Walter, but then, you know, I looked down the board a little bit and it was like, okay, well, who else am I going to get at either center or power forward that could have a similar impact to Saar? And I'm like, I don't think that guy exists right now. So it's just kind of a fun kind of team building exercise, and especially when you put the limitations on it of staying within your zone. Something I thought was kind of interesting is I don't think did either of us cross out a guy necessarily in the same zone outside of like the very first pick?
I don't know. I don't think so. I missed my second pick. I took Scotty Milton, who I love, but I had 8 guards in that range that I've literally just, because I took Middleton, I passed them all up. So like, if I went back, I probably would have taken a guard there, but it's a fun year.
Yeah.
It's a really fun year. I'm telling you guys, like, I've been beating this drum. This international class is bringing some heat.
Yes.
And now we're about to find out this college class is going to be more intriguing than people think. And I'm really excited for a lot of these guys. I really am. And it's funny you brought up Jacoby, because the first pick I kept staring at Jacoby, but I also love Justin Edwards. So I was like, Edwards. And then like, oh, I'll go Ron Holland just for fun. Just shake it up a little bit.
Okay. That's all I got on this. Green Room, do you want to update?
Of course I do. Come okay. on. This all gets right. me pumped up.
So it's the most exclusive club in the basketball world. Only 14 get in based off of vibes, pedigree, potential, a lot of vibes. It's not necessarily our lottery rankings, but kind of it's the 14 Green Room members. So currently yes. we only have three in there. Jacoby Walter, Alexander Saar, Ron Holland are all three sticking.
Yes.
Perfect. In line, we have Donovan Klingon, Stefan Kassel, and Garway Dual.
Who's in again? Sorry. Ron Holland, Kassel.
No. Kassel's in line.
Kassel's in line. Ron Holland, Saar, and who?
Walter.
Okay. Yes. 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 Sorry. I just didn't hear the third one. And then Klingon, Kassel, and Garway are in line.
Correct. Only one gets in.
I made a sales. Or no. Who are you thinking?
So Garway was my nomination last week.
I would say
Klingon's in, but he's in boot. Guys in boots and crutches are a total bummer in a club.
So is he still waiting in line?
Oh yeah.
This is why the Green Room pivot is good, because we have an actual, like, now we can talk about guys, get out, get in. You know, because at first I was nervous we're doing this too fast, but now we can just keep guys waiting.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think we can bring in a guy with a boot.
No.
Because I think security might think it's a weapon now. Like, if he gets a fight, it's a weapon. And insurance. And
tripping over stuff, the liability.
Insurance is a big deal. Club owner would be like, that's an insurance case I don't want to deal with if he falls and does something else.
One of his buddies there and just having to do everything for him, it's a nightmare.
A girl walks in with a heel. She rolls her ankle on his boot. Broken leg.
Vibes
insurance.
Are
yeah, no. Vibes are club shut down. We never have another one of these ever again. He can't do it. So he's got to stay in line.
Yeah. So probably not great for the rehab, but he's still standing outside.
Well, we can offer him a job to pay for the medical bills while he. Okay, I'm kidding. Donovan, get back. I'm so pumped to watch you this year.
And once he's healthy, he'll probably be in. Your nomination last week was Kassel. Make your sales pitch.
No, I made my sales pitch last week. You got to tell me about Garway. That's what happened. Sales
pitch last week.
No, I made mine for Kassel because I said he has
for good what it's worth. I was going to vote for Kassel.
I'll vote for Kassel.
Okay. Stefan Kassel.
Garway. Green Room. Garway does. Garway is first in line for me because he's ahead of Klingon now because Klingon's got a boot and he's working. He's going to work now. We just hired Donovan to be a bouncer. Garway, the more I think about it, Garway is like a weird wrinkle, like a wild card in that group. That would be perfect because he's just.
He may need a week of games to really cement himself there, but I think he's coming.
He might, yeah, he might, in the club, he might need, in the green room, he might need a couple songs. He's got to find his song. He's got to wait for his song. Everyone's got their song where they're like, okay, that'll bring me out on the dance floor. And then after you get that song, the night is just glorious. Garway's waiting for his song. And I think I'm with you, Metcalf. I think the first week of games, he's going to be the classic guy that we look up and be like, oh, Garway had 8, 4, 6, 4, like four steals. Like, it's just going to be like, I have a feeling we're going to get a couple of those box scores early on. And then all of a sudden we're going to get like a 15, 4, 4, and 3 and be like, uh-oh, here we go. So are we going to just keep the line like this, or do we need to nominate another name?
We both have to nominate we each nominate one to join Klingon and do all in line. So do you have anyone at the top of mind?
It's tough. It's tough, folks.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm trying to stay out of, you know, just the typical top five, top 10 names. Have a little fun. Who is it?
I might burn the place down when I nominate this one. I was going to do it last week and I was like, it's too early, too spicy, but I have a real big wild card. You ready?
Oh, it might be the same as mine. I'm interested.
Bronny James.
Oh. That's good.
I almost drafted him during our exercise.
I don't have him on my board right now just because
I
don't know what to do with the medicals, but it seems like he's playing.
I got him at 33.
He'd probably be in like the mid-20s for me.
I got him at 33. I think he's going to be okay. I think he's going to play, and then I think we're going to have a tough year of waiting until combine week.
Yeah.
And we're going to have all these NBA Central, Hoop Central, whatever reports about what scouts are saying. And then I'm going to get embarrassed because I'm going to text one of them and be like, is this true? And they're going to be like, Rucker, come on, man. Don't text me this stuff. And I'm going to be like, is he going to be okay or not? And they're like, we'll let you know when we can. And I'm like, that's bull crap. That's how it works. I think he's going to be okay. And I hope so. I think he's going to be the poster child of getting medicals. But sounds like he's going to play. I couldn't be more pumped if he does. I'm rooting for him. I like him as a player.
Oh, yeah.
If he plays and everything's good and looks good out of the gate, yeah, he's going to move up in a hurry. I'm never going to have him top 10, but he would be a first rounder for me.
Yeah.
But my green room proposal is that he has some good connections. No, I think Bronny's the glue guy of the group. I think he's very comfortable in his own skin. I think he also knows how to adapt to any environment. And, you know, Bronny knows, everyone wants to talk about LeBron and stuff like that. And I think Bronny's comfortable with being like, no, hey, I'm Bronny. I think that's good for group morale. And also, like, if the green room's a great time and they're like, hey, let's go pick up some pickup hoops, they might have some good destinations to go play pickup hoops. You never know. It's just a fun wrinkle, Metcalf, to have in the squad. So I'm throwing Bronny James as a wild card in line.
I love that. Okay. This one isn't quite as fun, but I'm just going to go number one player on the board, Justin Edwards.
Yeah, I can't believe we waited this long to get him in there.
He's got to at least be in line. So
he's in line for sure.
It's been too long. I don't have a great monologue for it.
Is there any hesitations you're worried about for Justin Edwards this year? Why am I just so like, I just think there's a demon going to be unlocked. With everything lining up, with like they're going to have to play small. He's probably going to be a rebound and go guy. Everything I saw in the preseason, it looks like that's the mentality he has of like, hey, I'm going to get the ball, run the break and transition, make plays.
It wouldn't shock me if there's some Brandon Miller-esque early season issues around the rim. Just because he's not super explosive, he's not super bulky, and he kind of struggled with some of that stuff in high school too. But I think he's just so crafty, has really good touch, really good shooter. I have him at one on my board, so I'm obviously in on him. I think the defense is awesome, especially the team defense. I think the spot up shooting is going to be incredible. It's just kind of how does that explosiveness or kind of lack thereof translate to the college level, and what does that look like going forward, and how does he kind of cope or adjust to any early season struggles that he has in those areas. But that would kind of be the at-rim stuff would be the big one for me.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I mean, sounds like they had their little like pro day session. Justin was impressing, especially getting to the rim and how aggressive he was. But I think it's also another thing to impress in a setting like that. And it's another thing to do it on the court. I just buying the tools, buying the versatility at 6'7", 6'8". I think it's going to be a big year for him. I think it's funny with those guys that are projected early season. And then I wonder if they're just watching guys like Ron Holland go off and then we're like, all right, here we go. Like, that's my, you know, Rocky versus Drago. That's my target. I'm putting a picture of Ron Holland on the mirror every day. But I think it's just, you know, Edwards has an opportunity now where I think they're going to lean on him a little bit with, you know, Aaron Bradshaw supposed to be out for a while. Big Z's not supposed to be playing, or maybe he is, but he's probably going to have to get caught up to speed. They're going to be thin down low. So he's going to need to step up. It's going to be really interesting to see.
And I kind of hate that for him. Because he's a wing, and if he's going to be having to play in the post or defend in the post, it could get ugly.
Yes, it's going to be interesting. Going to be interesting.
God, he rocks. He's so good. All right, Rucker, this was a blast. Once again, I'm Tyler Metcalf. You can follow me on Twitter at TMetcalf11. He is Tyler Rucker. You can follow him at Tyler_Rucker. All of our stuff is at NoCeilingsNBA.com. It's 100% free. Go check it out. If you enjoyed this episode, please make sure to subscribe, leave a review, and a 5-star rating. Till next time, see ya.